Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We welcome back a fine guest. Live via phone, he is Harvey Wasserman, author of The People's Spiral of U.S. History. Harvey, welcome back to the big show, man.
Hey, man, it's great to be with you. Really appreciate it.
Harvey, when last you and I talked, we were talking about, the Russian attacks on Chernobyl in the Ukraine. But, Harvey, we are moving on topically. Today, you've got some history to offer on indigenous people and the topic of abortion. In light of Roe v. Wade and the overturning thereof, Harvey, help educate the audience. Help educate me on this topic. What has been the relationship with indigenous people and women in their culture and the topic of abortion?
Well, you know, these right-wing judges keep talking about historical precedent and you know, traditional ways of doing things. And they, you know, to justify overturning Roe v. Wade, they talked about, they keep coming up with this originalist view of the Constitution, which is utterly insane, especially in light of the fact that the indigenous cultures here, which were here for at least 20,000 years, had absolutely a total sacredness of the female right to choose. Women actually ran most of the tribes in North America. They were matriarchies, including especially the Iroquois Confederacy, which is in upstate New York, or what's now upstate New York, which was very well known to Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, and very well respected. And they had a Bill of Rights, the indigenous, and especially the Haudenosaunee, which is people of the Longhouse, the Iroquois Confederacy. They very clearly spelled out the individual liberties of the members of their tribe. But what was most clear was that women had the right to choose. Women had control of their own bodies. If you had raised the idea that a man could determine how a woman would handle their pregnancy, you would have gotten a big blank stare and a hearty belly laugh. I mean, women ran the indigenous societies, and they had control of their own bodies, and they certainly knew how to self-administer abortions. So the idea that abortion, is not set in our historical culture is insane. It wasn't an issue in 1789. It was never mentioned by the white founders, and it only came into being as an issue in recent years as the right wing has lost the culture war.
Harvey, let's talk about a matriarchal society. In reality, historically speaking, what did that mean in terms of practical governance?
Well, it's interesting. It's a great documentary I used for research on The People's Spiral. About the Iroquois, and they interviewed a woman named Audrey Shenandoah, matriarch of the Iroquois Nation, and they asked her, why was it that if women ran the tribes, the men were the chiefs? And she said, well, it gives them something to do, and it makes them feel important. Basically, the women ran the longhouses, or, you know, the teepees, or the other structures that were part of the indigenous culture. They raised the children, and they ran the gardens. And that's basically the core of most of the North American indigenous cultures. Now, you did have people who hunted the buffalo, of course, in the Great Plains, and other forms of sustenance. But basically, the women were the core of the culture, and they made the key decisions in the long term. And especially, it was especially clear with both the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois, in what's now upstate New York, and the Cherokee in the southeast, the five so-called civilized tribes. They were all civilized. The reality is that when the whites arrived here, there was an extremely complex, advanced civilization. This idea that this was an uncivilized continent is an insult to the indigenous. And the fact is they had individual rights, certainly to speak, and they had the individual control of their own bodies, which these so-called Christians want to take away.
Harvey Wasserman, my fine guest. He is the author of the book, The People's Spiral of U.S. History. Harvey, the topic of abortion, what did reproductive care look like in indigenous cultures? I mean, was it the rhythm method? You talk about abortion, chemical abortion. What did this look like, and was it widely practiced? And if so, sir, for what reason? Same, you know, it seems like economic reasons weren't the same then. So explain this concept to me a little bit better, would you, Harvey?
It was basically the decision of a woman. It could be for any number of things. Maybe she changed her mind about the guy that she got pregnant with, or couldn't sustain a pregnancy, or there were all sorts of things. But they did it herbally. There was not chemical. It was done by herbs. And the women knew how to do this from time immemorial. You know, the primary medical care was through herbal medicine and diet. And these people were the masters of this. And a woman could have an abortion without anybody else knowing it, for God's sakes. And what their reasons were as varied as each individual woman who had gotten pregnant and decided not to proceed with it. So, it was not a thing, you know, it was not determined with any great ceremony, or certainly not with the authority of a state. I love how these people are talking about individual freedom, but they want to insert the government into a woman's uterus. And at the same time, they talk about the sanctity of life, and they support the death penalty. We are 100% certain that the death penalty causes the death of innocent people. There are hundreds of cases throughout American history where people have been wrongfully put to death, and yet these people who are so pro-life are supporting the death penalty. It's ridiculous. And you know, we could go on and on, but the indigenous culture, in the indigenous culture, women controlled their own bodies. Now, that was not the same in Central and South America. There were exceptions there among the Inca and the Aztec, very different societies there. But in North America, the tribes, which were mostly in the forests and on the plains, the women ran the show, and the idea that a man could dictate what she would do with a pregnancy was completely, you know, as alien a thought process as the idea of private property, which the indigenous also did not have.
Harvey, explain to the audience things like governing principles. Did they have a written constitution? Did they establish these rights in their law?
Yes. Well, there was no discussion of abortion. I mean, you would not have an amendment to the constitution of an indigenous society guaranteeing the right to an abortion. It never even came up. And I want to point out, by the way, that I was born a Jewish, and in the Jewish tradition, the fetus is not considered human until it's born, until it can live on its own. The idea that you would outlaw abortion in the Jewish society is an imposition, which is in direct contradiction to the First Amendment. The very first clause of the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. The idea that the court can establish a religious or legal imposition that the fetus is human upon conception is absurd, and it's directly in opposition to everything James Madison thought of when he wrote the Bill of Rights. So, and in the indigenous societies, it never came up. However, there were written constitutions. Basically, it was an oral tradition, and so the idea of a constitution of ways of governance among the indigenous was passed on through the oral tradition. But there were written documents written language became adapted in the indigenous societies. But, you know, their constitutions were basically in the oral tradition. And they were very well known. They were very well worked out. And they were very well respected by the whites who wrote the American Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, which primarily Benjamin Franklin was a great student of the indigenous societies. But George Washington also, although he killed quite a few Indians, he had great respect for the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois, Madison, Jefferson. These guys were all very well aware that certainly the Iroquois and many of the other tribes had very sophisticated forms of government. And you would have to say, and I really lay this out in the People's Spiral of U.S. History, that the Iroquois Confederacy, the Haudenosaunee, the people of the Longhouse in what's now upstate New York, had the most advanced democracy in the history of the world. It was a consensus based. They had, of course, you know, chiefs. They had a Congress which met to unify the five nations. They were very, very well aware of individual rights and individual liberties, and far more than Greece, ancient, you know, in Athens, women had no vote and they had slaves, and Rome was, you know, a republic, very undemocratic in many ways. There was nothing on earth that matched or surpassed the Iroquois Confederacy in terms of pure democracy. And whatever democracy we have in this country was very clearly inspired by the Iroquois. There was nothing in Europe that compared to the democratic core of the indigenous societies in this country. And that's where American democracy comes from.
My fine guest, Harvey Wasserman, author of The People's Spiral of U.S. History, for a few more minutes. Harvey, my understanding of indigenous cultures is they look at the world through multi-generational eyes. They try to predict how their actions will carry forward for generations in the future. Harvey, how do you think that has affected their governance style and overall? What lessons do you think we, the quote-unquote American people, should learn from the indigenous leadership style, governance style?
Well, the indigenous were quite diverse, and you know, you had many different, hundreds of different tribes there. By some counts, as many as 500 or even 1,000. But the reality is that they were nature-based societies. That comes with a matriarchy. You know, it's the Mother Earth. And in a nature-based society, you plan ahead with ecological impact. You don't do things they're going to destroy your, you know, or foul your nest and make it impossible to continue to survive on the land. And, you know, you had indigenous societies here for at least 20,000 years, maybe more. I think it's clearly more. And they survived here for 20,000 years. Without destroying their water supply, without destroying their air, and without extincting the species of animals that they depended on for their sustenance. So, you know, you do have some instances of mass slaughter of buffalo, but the indigenous did not waste anything from the buffalo. In fact, when the whites decided they wanted to extinct the Indians, the first thing they did was slaughter, you know, 59 million buffalo. They're estimated 60 million buffalo, or roughly thereabouts, on the North American continent. And in the after the Civil War, when the railroads came, whites just sat on the trains and shot Indians, but they also shot the buffalo and just let them lay there. It was completely alien to anything in the indigenous culture. They used everything from the land, and that's how they survived for 20 centuries. So,
Harvey, you know, let's let people know how to buy the book before we run completely out of time.
Okay, so people can get the book at the usual sources online, one of which will not be named. We call it the Voldemort Bookstore. But you can also, if you want a personalized copy, contact me at solartopia@gmail.com. The People's Spiral of U.S. History. You got to get it before they start burning it. So write me directly, solartopia@gmail.com. I'll send you a personalized copy, or else just go to the usual online bookstores. Or please support your local bookstore. We really want people to support local bookstores. They are coming back. So if you want the People's Spiral of History, and if you don't want to write me, just go to your local bookstore and have them order it.
Harvey Wasserman, author of The People's Spiral of U.S. History. Thank you, Harvey. Come back. More Devil's Advocates on the other side.